has changed.
We want to be there for you.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are unscripted, uncouth, and still very mature. Now, Daily.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
Happy Monday, if you're listening on the day that we actually put this together. If not, then happy whatever other day it is.
Yes.
We had a nice little weekend. It is the, oh gosh, is it 2 months now that we've been under?
Not quite.
Maybe.
Because the day that everything broke apart was Friday the 13th of March.
Oh, okay.
So we're almost there.
Yeah, it's almost been 2 months.
It is insane to me how time has flown by so quickly in this new normal,
mm-hmm.
and how we've adjusted to it, and how I feel like it's going to be really weird slowly going back. So like today, Monday, May 4th, right here in Florida, restaurants are opening where you can eat outside. I've seen like some of my favorite places be like, hey, like they showed video of them with rulers measuring the distance between the tables,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
you know, and like if you have a booth situation, it's going to be like every other booth. I'm so torn right now because there are some of my restaurants that I am itching to go yeah. to a Mexican restaurant and get the salsa and the queso to yeah. just get an appetizer. And this is no knock on anybody, but there is just something to be said for getting your food fresh, hot, straight from the kitchen to your house as compared to it being delivered, going through a third party, or going to pick it up, taking it home. I don't care how great it is. It's still going to be different than when you eat it at the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to support my restaurants by going there, but I just feel like I'm not ready to just be out with everybody.
Hell no.
It's going to be an interesting couple of weeks as we get used to this new normal. And I think one of the things that I'm really struggling with is because I feel like it's going to happen soon, is like the barbershops, the nail salons, and the hairdressers and stuff like that. Like, I am itching to get my hair cut.
Yeah, I can't wait to get my hair done. Oh,
I feel like such a ragamuffin right now. Just so bad. And I feel bad for my barber. I feel bad for everybody.
Yeah, it's a crappy situation for everyone.
I don't know. What do you do? What are you going to do, Holly?
Not go out. I don't know. Like, here's the thing. And I get that, like, restaurants are taking these extra precautions and they have their measuring tapes out and they're properly 6 feet. Like, the virus is not going to obey those borders.
No.
Yeah, he's not going to be, oh, wait a second.
Like, oh, 6 feet, can't go no further. And so, obviously, you're taking a chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now, if you are a healthy person and you don't worry about bringing it to someone elderly or someone immunocompromised and you just want to take that risk on your own, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that just do that.
Right.
But I have too much at stake just with, you know, my house alone, that I can't take unnecessary risks.
Right.
Like, I don't have to go to a restaurant. Like, I can, you know, stake it out a few more weeks without getting my hair done. Although, I will be one of the first people back on the list because I was supposed to have an appointment with my girl Laura in April. And so the salon sent out an email and they're like, you know, we're not in phase one, so we're still closed up and everything, but they said that anybody with haircut appointments or color appointments in March, April, or May that got bumped, they'd be put back first.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's how everyone's doing it, but I don't know, y'all. Like, I sit in that chair for like 3 to 4 hours,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure they're also going to be taking precautions.
Right.
But I just don't know. I'm just nervous.
So now here's and this is a real conversation that I feel like a lot of couples are about to go through and coworkers. So today restaurants are opening up and, I haven't talked with my boyfriend yet, so I don't know, but I know he's like jonesing to like get out and to do stuff. But I'm not ready.
Mm-hmm.
So like, how do you navigate those waters of one person wants to do it? Because it's not like another type of situation where if you're like, all right, well, I don't want to do it, but you do it, but go ahead. Because if you go and let's say you're as safe as possible and then you accidentally touch a door handle, and then you bring it back to me, and then I bring it back to Holly, and then Holly takes it to her mom. It's like the ripple effects of this, it's just mind-boggling sometimes.
Yeah, it's not great. Here's the thing. There's no way to be 100% safe.
Right.
Unless you're one of those people who has quarantined in your own home with no outside contact at all for like the last month and a half.
Right.
And so if you see anyone at all, and now that things are opening back up, you're at risk.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to open our building, which I'm really glad about, actually, because that would just, I mean, God, there's a lot of people in this building. So I'm glad that our company has chosen to go until June 1st without letting, everybody else back in. So that makes me happy. But then, I mean, anything could happen. So, like, let's say your boyfriend goes out. Let's say Abe goes out and does contract something. Then it's just going to go through us.
Right.
So then that's part of, and I mean, we knew at the get-go, like when we were over here in March talking about flattening the curve was never about preventing everyone from getting sick.
Yeah.
It was from spacing it out so that roughly the same amount of people probably get sick, but not all at once. And so I think that we've effectively done that, like where it could have been an absolute just terror and all these people in Florida would have gotten sick at the same time. Now we're just going to continue to get sick, but at different times. Yeah. So the hospitals will be able to take care of us, but we're still at risk for this virus.
So should it be that, like, we stagger on the show? Like, who goes out first? Let's see if you get sick. You get sick, you're out for a little bit. All right, after they get it, and then the next person goes. Like, I wonder if that's how companies and people are going to start to be as you try to navigate these waters. Like, Scott, how are you? I mean, are you going to start to go see your girlfriend now? Is she going to be over the house now? Like, what's going to happen?
Interesting, because I feel like we didn't get in a fight about it. Like, it wasn't a fight, but she did call me and, like, we talked about how, like, okay, how do you feel about everything opening up? And my girlfriend was on the page of, like, I think it's, you know, it's a good idea. You have to slowly do it in waves and everything. And I was in agreeance, but I also could see, like, down the line, like, if she was itching, I don't know why she would be like, hey, let's go to a restaurant. And I wasn't comfortable. Like, it would be a fight because I'd be like, you have to, for me, it would be on the side of the person that doesn't want to go out. Like, I feel like for right now, just respect. Find a way to just respect that. I know you're itching to go out, but eventually we'll be able to do that. Like, we will get there one day, but if you could just respect my wants to not do it right now, that'd be great to just help our relationship a little bit further. Because I'll tell you, like, if, let's say, like, all of a sudden, like, bars opened up, and I'm not going, because that, you're again, increasing. But my girlfriend wanted to go. Like, that definitely, we'd be butting heads about that, because I'd be like, I can't see you then. Like,
right.
And I know she wouldn't, because she has her family and stuff that she's looking at as well. But for me, I don't have any itch to go to these places right now. The only one that I would go is, like, the barber right now. Like, because that's, like, okay, it's, like, a smaller percentage, I feel like, of people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If I'm looking at a chunk on a pie, like, if you go to a restaurant, you have tons of waves of people going through in and out, days, touching all sorts of things. Out of your control of what you even know, even if it's like a railing that you didn't even wash. But at a barber, at least, like, you know, okay, I could control what I touch here. Like, I have a doorknob. Okay, I could grab that with a glove, and I sit in a chair. They could probably wipe off the chair before I sit down, and then hopefully the barber, whoever it is, hopefully you know them enough where they're going to wash their hands, wash their tools, and it's like contact with that one person and that one item.
Right.
That's a little more on the safe side in my head than like sitting in a booth at a restaurant where it's like, okay, now I'm touching a fork, a knife, a table, a chair, a doorknob. The waitress coming over there, they're talking with people in the back. They're probably handling different plates. Who knows what? It just increases the amount of things that could be, you know, leaked into this virus. So I don't think I'll be going out, especially not this week. I won't be going out anywhere. Maybe eventually I would go to like a little restaurant that's not like a huge chain or anything. Like again, I've talked about it a couple times, like a pho restaurant where it's like, it's just me and a chair and a bowl of pho.
Right.
And I could at least like, all right, like I know so it's good. Not huge traffic of people coming through. It just kind of decreases the risk a little bit.
Speaking of food, I got to go run down and get my food.
Oh, gotcha.
Sorry,
okay.
Sorry.
No,
but
you're
it's
fine.
For both Scott and I, so it's not just
me. No, you're fine. You can go ahead and get it. What I want to do is I'm going to text someone who owns a restaurant. Because I wanted to see, like, what all they've been through set up the proper precautions to make sure that you're safe. Because, hold on, let me see. Hey, can you chat on our podcast?
It's just so hard because you let people in your building and you don't know, like, you go to the bathroom. Like, what's that person going to the bathroom touching along the way? They touch the fake plant in the corner.
Right.
Who knows? You know, like, if they just pass it around like that, they cough. It lands on the back of your head.
Right. But then at the same time, I mean, you've been to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's probably out of even, like, a restaurant is more so.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, I mean, it's not like you're touching. Because, I mean, if you were doing things correctly at the grocery store, which, you know, I haven't been. I haven't worn gloves to the grocery store. But as soon as you walked into the grocery store, you would put your gloves on, and then you would get your items, only touch what you need. Yeah. And then as soon as you were done, take your gloves off and then dispose of them. Mm-hmm. And then when you got home, wipe down all of your items.
Yeah.
So, like, have you done that?
No.
I haven't done that. Holly hasn't done that. So it's like, you know,
I mean, that's where it's like, that's why it's like I'm still ordering from restaurants. I'm still trying to help in that spectrum, but I'm trying to keep the things that I go to the, like, the things that I need.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I come to work, I need work, and I go to the grocery store because I need food. Everything else has been off. Like, I don't think I've been anywhere else beside, like, here, and I've drove to my girlfriend's house to see her.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't even seen any other thing except for a grocery store or her place. Or our house. So I've tried to really limit the places that I've been just gone to.
Right.
Anywhere. Because I know some people even went, like, and this isn't bad. I'm not saying this is bad. Like, walking around, like, Bayshore, just different areas going outside. Like, I just haven't. Like, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to stay as far away from other people that I can.
Right.
In this time. But now, like, again, like, my only fear is that people are going to go out, and we're seeing it right now, that since everyone is seeing that, like, these orders are off, they're going to act like everything's back to normal. And so you're going to forget all the precautions of, like, wearing a mask, putting on gloves, even if you're not doing it right, whatever. Or, like, you know, covering your mouth, washing your hands. Like, we can't just act like everything's back to normal even though things are opening up. We're opening up to save the economy, but you also have to remember the virus is still very much there. And there's no help once you get it.
Well, and that's the hard part, is balancing that, because with the economy the way that it is and the people that have just gone so long without money or food, it's like they need to work in these industries, and you don't. And that's why I'm like, all right, so like today I'm going to probably go get, I'm going to pick up lunch from somewhere, like a local restaurant that maybe has been closed this whole time, and I'm going to pick it up, get it, and then maybe eat it, you know, in my car at the park or something like that, just to make sure it's safe. But it's like, I don't want to not go. And it goes without saying, I hate this situation.
Yeah.
Because it's like every time you turn around, it's like you think that you're doing the right thing, but then you end up not, you know?
Well, it's like we're all doing the best we can. I don't know what y'all talking about, but it seems like that fits.
Holly just went and got her food downstairs.
It actually fit perfectly. You could only do what you could do. And that's why, like, I've even increased the amount of times that I've ordered out or gotten food, because usually, yeah, I haven't got that much money, so I don't usually eat out that much. I try to just cook at home, but even with everything going on, I'm like, okay, let me at least try. Like, any little bit helps. And so if I can get on that bandwagon, ordering more from other places, going other places, like, hopefully it helps. But again, like, it's, you know, the little bit that I could do.
Right.
That's it.
I mean, it is what it is. And it just keeps me a little bit fearful. My friend Amanda that we talked to on this podcast, like, early on, she's on day 32 of her illness.
Of still being sick?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Like, it morphed into a couple of different things. Like, other illnesses cropped up because her immune system was so weakened by the virus. But it's just, I feel just terrible. It's like, you can tell that she's trying to, like, stay positive mentally. But after 32 days of feeling like you got hit by a truck, I mean, it's hard. So I keep that in my mind. And I'm like, I know her case, it's all different, which is also weird. So it hits people differently. And that doesn't necessarily mean that would happen to me or, you know, somebody else that would get it. But it's not great regardless.
No.
So it just sucks.
We're going to call. I've just been texting with one of my friends who owns a couple of restaurants here in Tampa Bay who's opening up today for the first time. And I kind of just wanted to talk with him. And this is like the worst time because he's about to open up at noon and they have only been open.
What are you doing calling?
I know. Well, that's why I was like, hey, I was like, we'll do it tomorrow. He goes, I can talk for a couple of seconds.
Oh, God.
Hold on. Let me call him.
I'm so curious on who it is.
Hold on.
I hope it's who I think it is.
I All right. Let's see here.
Hello?
Steven Schrutt?
Nice.
What's up, Miguel?
How's it going? So you're on the podcast. It's me, Holly, Scotty the Body. And if you live in Tampa Bay, you have been to one of his restaurants or concepts before. We're talking about the Avenue, No Vacancy, Park and Rec, the St. Pete and Tampa location. And you have the Park and Rec, or is it what do you call it at the Tropicana Field?
At the Ballpark and Rec.
Ballpark and Rec. Yes. Right. So obviously you got a lot going on today, so we don't want to take up a lot of your
time. Well, Miguel said that you're doing things at noon. I was like, why are you going to call him? He's busy.
Real quick, we just kind of wanted to talk about what you've been through with your multiple businesses being closed, and then what it's like for you opening up today to have people sit in your restaurant for the first time in a bunch of months or weeks.
Yeah, it'll be 7 weeks, I believe. It's been crazy, obviously, with everything going on. And, you know, we're all dealing with it to different, you know, levels and different scenarios. But, yeah, the restaurants, too, it's been different for each one as well that I own. So the rules have changed and, you know, it's been something that we have to, you know, figure out. Each time the rules have changed and what we're able to do and what we're allowed to do for each one. So, you know, as of actually St. Patrick's Day at 5 o'clock, I closed all of my businesses down. Mm. And except for the Avenue, we did a week of takeout. And then on March 23rd, I closed the Avenue down when the 30-day lockdown was advised.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like that was the right thing to do for our staff, our guests, the entire community. You know, I felt like that was the right thing. Let's not operate. Let's be with our families. Let's take care of what we need to. And when we're allowed really to get back to work, we'll reopen and, you know, so we decided a few weeks ago, I started putting in a plan to reopen by May 1st to do takeout and delivery options and doing limited menus from all of my concepts out of the Avenue Kitchen. That way we could offer people, you know, a lot of variety and fun foods and drinks to go. But also for us, you know, we could limit the labor and the overhead and operating. And ironically enough, you know, we planned on opening by May 1st. We opened April 30th. And that same day, the governor put out the 25% occupancy, which is going into effect today. Mm-hmm. So we're allowed to have 25% at one, you know, at once, all inside. And so we're opening here now. Mm. At 12 o'clock, we're going to have 25% occupancy inside, 6-foot social distancing on our patios, and we're open 12 to 10 every day. Alcohol sales have to stop at 9 o'clock for inside. On to-goes, they can continue, and we'll be doing that until 10 o'clock along with food. We're excited to be able to have guests inside and, you know, to kind of get back to our normal, right?
I mean,
I think all of us want that in our life.
What all have you all done to prepare for this today? Because I saw a post, I believe, on Facebook where you're doing, like, once-used menus, I'm assuming, like, just on paper that you get, then you throw away, and you're only serving food on paper plates and whatnot. Is that what all you all are doing?
Yeah, so we're doing, like I said, inside is tables only. With 25% occupancy, outside will be 6-foot social distancing between groups. We have a sanitizer station before you come in. We are wearing masks. Obviously, we always wash our hands routinely, and even more now. You want to make sure that you're aware of that, right? All food will be disposable, plates, silverware, menus, extra wiping down of pens and receipt books. We're giving every table a sanitizer bottle, wiping down chairs and tables. Just, you know, really putting in extra measures to not only, you know, be sanitary, but also to make sure that the guests feel safe and comfortable and know that they can, you know, come to a place and not have to worry about those things, right?
Right.
Yeah. A lot of times restaurants, I feel like that's where you go as an escape.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
What has it been like for you personally to sort of not have, I mean, because you are a guy that, like, the energy you have whenever I see you, I'm like, where does it come from? I mean, to run that many businesses by yourself and to bounce around from this place to that place and to be over all these people, I mean, you are a person that feeds off of that energy, and to have it all of a sudden gone, I mean, how have you been dealing with it personally?
You know, I appreciate all that. You know, the first couple of weeks, Miguel, it was a shock.
Like, yeah.
I was at home, you know, trying to stay busy and finding, you know, work related things to do. But it was sad. You know, I mean, there was definitely some frustration, and, you know, having that, what you're used to doing every day taken away, was difficult. I did try to actually sleep for once, which was nice. But you know, there was a lot of applying for, you know, insurance paperwork and bank paperwork and, you know, all these things. So there was a lot of stuff that kept myself and my team, our minds on work at least. Mm-hmm. We tried to figure out what are we going to do going forward, because we knew there's no way that it's just going to go back to normal right away. There's just no way. Mm-hmm. And so we started planning a lot of what are we going to do, right? How are we going to operate to, whether it be a 25%, a 50%, or a takeout-only program. So we started looking into those different scenarios, and I think that helped me, you know, keep my mind on work and you know, a lot of what we do is problem-solving and you know, planning for whatever it may be, whether it be, you know, an event or a new concept or whatever's going on. So I think it kind of was a different challenge. And so we looked at it and had to, you know, figure out those different scenarios and how we make them, you know, work for the community, our guests, ourselves.
Right. Wow. Well, you all have done a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
And so excited at some point to be able to get down to the restaurant and sit there. So thank you for all that.
We're doing brunch, your favorite.
I know.
Oh, Miguel.
I saw that brunch menu posted, and I was like, I cannot wait to get to that. Oh, my gosh.
We're not doing our bottomless bar because of people touching people's
grubby hands.
But we're doing bottomless in a different style, so you can still get bottomless. It's just table service.
Listen, trust me, in a few weeks I'll be there for that.
Yeah.
It'll be the most ultimate brunch that you'll probably have to kick
me
out.
We actually probably won't be on the air that Monday. Like, let's work on that.
What color is Scott's hair going to be by then?
Oh, gosh. Who knows?
Oh, I love it. Well, we know you got a lot of stuff to do. If you're listening to the podcast later on, right now we're recording at 11:30. You open in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So we'll let you get back to that. Thank you for checking in with us. We appreciate it. We love you, and good job, okay?
I appreciate you guys, and anything you need, just give me a shout, and I hope to see your faces in store soon.
Same,
absolutely.
Same.
All right, we'll talk to you soon, Steven.
All right, thanks, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Ugh, I can't imagine.
I can imagine, like, the stress level of all of this.
Well, and then just having to pivot like that, you know, where it's like every week it was like, you can do this, you can't do this, you can do this, you can't do this.
And as a business owner, like he said, it was just so many different things coming down. So when I love how he's like, okay, so we got everything ready. We're going to do delivery and takeout. Let's go. And then last same day, Governor DeSantis is like, oh, by the way, y'all can open up. And they're like, shit, did you order the paper plates? Get them now. Now. Paper plates.
Wow. The panic that must have come over them them and their staff.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're so excited to get back to work. So if you're like us and you're like, you're not going to go out and sit down in the restaurant, you know, I plan on at some point this week going down there. We were going to get takeout from the Avenue Friday night. But by the time we finished our virtual happy hour, all of us were drunk.
Mm-hmm.
So
y'all were turned all the way up because
it's because Abe was making the Cosmos.
Okay.
Well, because I was like really jonesing for Cosmos at the end of the week. I think I saw like a music video or something from Sex and the City from back in the day.
I just got to ask if it was Sex and the City.
Absolutely. I think it was like on a channel that Dylan had on, and I was like, because I don't know, for some reason, those Sex and the City movies, they take me back to this very specific point in my life where whenever I see a movie or I see one of those movies on or I hear a song from the soundtrack, because I love the soundtrack, it takes me right back to that moment. And then I just start having all those feelings again. And I was like, I want Cosmos at the end of the week. And so Abe went and bought all the stuff. And I had about probably 8 or 10 Cosmos Friday night.
Wild.
Yeah, I mean, we ordered food. I barely remember eating the food. Like, I ordered everybody's Uber Eats, paid for
it
all.
That's really nice.
Oh. Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks. You, Dylan, and Abe, everybody that ordered something different because it was all Asian food. I mean, it was a mess.
Y'all doing it up hard at Chateau Oprah.
We did, but that was just Friday night. Saturday was a little bit more calm. Mm. I believe so. I don't know. The days just sort of go together.
I don't know either. Y'all had like a disco dance party one of the nights.
That was that night. That was that Friday night.
I meant to ask him, what happened? I don't even remember. I'm drunk. It was on my Insta story. I don't remember.
Because Miguel's boyfriend, Abe, has this like little thing that you plug into the phone and it like lights up to the sound of a music or whatever music you got playing from your phone. And
it goes doo 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 doo.
So they turn that thing on, turn off the lights. They're like, oh my gosh, it's like Enigma. and then the party was just going from there.
I got it.
Yes, it was a fun time. How was your weekend, Holly?
Fucking busy.
Oh.
Busy.
What happened?
All right, listen, I'm going to read you the letter. Because one of my friend Julie shouts out, texted me this morning, and she was like, how was your weekend? So I was like, you know, let me type it all out, okay?
Oh, gosh.
I said, good, busy. I cleaned. We made moon dough. We made a vinegar baking soda volcano in the backyard. Built Legos. Went to the park for a picnic. Had a cookout and a bonfire. Cooked dinner for my person's parents. My mom stressed the F out about it for about a day and a half, even though it was her idea. Potted my herbs. Also put tomatoes and jalapenos in the Aero Garden. Cleaned up trash around the neighborhood and cleaned my own house.
Hello.
Holy crap.
So, I mean,
you know. You were productive.
We got a lot done.
Yeah. And how do you feel now?
Exhausted.
Yeah.
Mondays are hard after like really power up weekends. But I will say this, and I really appreciate my daughter Maya for this, because I don't know if they were learning about it in school or if it was something she saw on TV, but her big thing is she likes to go walk like around the neighborhood block and collect trash. And, like, put it in a trash bag and throw it out.
That's awesome.
Like, we pick up garbage. So that's what we did on Saturday morning. And a man was driving down the street because there's, like, a sort of main road near where we live. And he pulls up behind us. And so I just hear this car slowing down. So I was like, oh, Jesus, we're going to die. We're going to die. I'm, like, trying to, like, shield my daughter. And he rolled down the window and he was like, I had to do a U-turn just to come say that this is awesome. I saw you the other direction and you guys made my day. I was like,
wow.
Oh my gosh.
Thanks. And so Maya was like, cool, and just kept moving out. I'm like, it was awesome. So it was really cool that even happened. And I was like, it's all her, because it really is. You would not have caught my ass out with a old garbage bag picking up litter. But it was a cool moment.
I love that your daughter is experiencing those things at 6 years old and like wanting to do it. Because I mean, I remember watching some news program when I was really young and seeing that like some other little kid had created this charity to like stop deforestation or something like that. And I was like, and I remember thinking, I'm going to start Miguel Saves the Ecosystem, and I wanted to somehow make it to where exhaust would not go up into the air, into the ecosystem, and then it just didn't go anywhere.
Oh.
I stopped. Okay. I remember I had, like, a little notebook with plans, and, like, here was going to be, like, the tagline for it, and, like, I sketched out what
That's
the logo was going to be.
That's a big deal that you even did all that. Yeah. I didn't know that I could do that. That's what I'm saying. I was very unempowered when I was a kid.
Mm.
I just figured my mom did everything. I literally don't think I knew I could do stuff. I do know, I think I was in fourth grade when I wanted to clean up our streets. Maybe it's like a school thing that they talk about.
Yeah, once you learn it.
So when I did that, except I went out by myself at like, because you could back in the day, at like fourth grade years old, which is 10 maybe.
Yeah.
I picked up a bunch of stuff and I brought it home and I'm like, Mom, I think I found a bullet. I should have
Oh, my gosh.
I found a bullet in the streets. It's not like we lived in like a neighborhood where there was gang activity or anything. It was just a bullet. And I was like, this is so cool. And she never let me do it again.
At that point, I mean, you bring home a bullet, a condom.
Oh, God.
A needle.
Anything
razor
bad.
Blades.
My mom was like, well, that's the end of that.
Yeah, bye.
So,
wow. Well, I wanted to end the podcast today on a positive note. We talked about this during radio blogs on our show today about this song that I came across from way back in the day. If you remember, if you're like Holly and I's age, I'm 34, Holly, you're 38.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for the class of
1999.
Sometimes my brain, the 1990s seems like a long time ago now almost. Because it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like it, though.
Super weird.
So it feels weird to say for the class of 1990. It's like, whoa,
what? It was
a
lifetime ago.
I know, right? Yeah. But the song was actually like on like a station like Hot 101.5 back in the day. The director of Moulin Rouge, Baz Luhrmann, took this commencement speech that was actually a newspaper article, and then he turned it into a song, a spoken word song. And we're going to actually play the whole thing, and we can pop in and comment on it. And I'm curious on what you, Scott, we played it off the air, the whole thing, so you could hear it for the first time.
Mm.
But sort of like what it means to you now, being a 23-year-old, and Holly and I, who heard this back in the 90s, now listening back and take what did we take away from it?
Mm-hmm.
And what didn't we take away that we wish we would have?
Ooh. Oh,
ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall that you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise, politicians will philander, you too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund, maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. You never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, on the sunscreen.
So that last little bit was my email.
That's not a good part of the song.
Yeah. So just so many wonderful nuggets in that. Scott,
do you think that when you were 18, you said there's so many wonderful nuggets in that?
I mean, Holly, you know me. Sadly,
yeah,
I did.
You did say that. Shit.
Like, I'm pretty sure if I go through my journals, I probably wrote out this entire thing.
Oh, wow.
And probably have notes. I'm gonna look through that today.
You probably did. Don't even look. I'm assuming you did.
But I'm so curious what I said back then. So I'm gonna have to go back through my journals from high school and see. But I'm curious for you, Scott, hearing this, how does this strike you?
I mean, it's a reminder of, like, well, one, I mean, I have a bunch of notes here and kind of things I took away from it, but it's like life is short. Enjoy the things while you have them and don't take life so seriously all the time. And that's something I kind of try to keep in the back of my head. But the one that really struck me, and I could go over the other ones too, but the one that really struck me is, like, don't worry about the future. Like, you're going to spend so much time worrying about it. One, for me, it's like you're going to miss the present. And I caught myself the other day. I'm like, I get myself so stressed out about what my next step is going to look like, and am I going to make it, and is it going to all happen? And it's like, there's nothing I could do except for what I'm doing right now that's going to get me any step further to that. So any time spent worrying is just wasting time. It's only adding angst to your own mind. And so it's like hearing that is just so important, just because it's like, I think for me, and I had to remind myself this today actually during the show, it's like the whole goal, I think, of everything is just to be happy.
Yeah.
So it's like, if I'm looking in my future and thinking of, like, how successful could I be? How much money will I make? Will I have all these accolades? It's like I have to scrape that aside and realize, are these things what actually make me happy? Or is what I'm doing making me happy and spending time with the people that I love making me happy? As long as I have that, I'll be living the life that I want to live. And so it's like that kind of struck pretty big to me there. But I mean, there's a couple others too. It's like one thing that scares you, everything in life, like one day, every day, do something that scares you, which is dope, which is like, and it kind of goes back and forth. It also said dance there. It's like, and I, this is why I love what we do as radio and stuff. I like being the person that takes those awkward situations for people and just shows them that it's like, it's okay to have fun. Like, just have fun. Let your body do what it wants to do. Do the things that you want to do. Do whatever makes you happy. Don't feel like you can't do it because other people around you are judging you. For so long, I felt like I couldn't just fully be myself because I was worried other people would think. Then I was like, F that. I'm going to be who I am. And I learned that people accepted me more because of that. And that's why I do this. That's why I like being able to entertain, because it shows everyone else that it's like, you know what? I want to have fun too. It's better that way. And then one that actually, like, I don't want to get emotional, so I'm not going to get emotional. Well,
Why not?
I felt it come. Let me just talk about it first. Maybe it'll just happen. But it was like, get to know your parents. Like, you never, oh, all right.
Well, we know anything about subject is it hits close to your heart.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just, and I'm doing it now with more so with my grandparents of like, oh, we take for granted so many moments of like either just hanging out and not really getting to have deep conversations and getting to know them, but you can learn so much. And I complain a little bit about like how much my family Zooms right now because I just don't like Zoom calls. But the one silver lining there is like we're getting to like talk to like my grandma a lot more. And yesterday I caught a moment where my aunt started recording the conversation like through Zoom, which, and I just, it hit me in a way of like, dang, like these things we're going to look back and wish that we had more opportunities. So it's so cool to be able to like save stuff like that. And if you can call that person in your life to have those conversations, you just learn more. And I remember like when I lost my grandpa and like I was young, so I didn't really have an opportunity to see what all I could have learned. But I wish, if anything, I could just go back and just try to like, I used to spend so much time with him, like sit down and actually have a conversation and learn from his past and like actually be able to talk to both grandparents and like realize like, what, like, you know, what are you all like? Like, what is the inside like? What was it like growing up? Those things. And then also, yeah, like with my parents, it's like, I remember like, you know, a couple years ago and it's like, I thought I was going to lose my mom. And I was like, oh my God, whoo, that's changed everything in my life to show that it's like literally tomorrow is not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
So take advantage of right now and everything that you could get out of it and stop like the other things they said, like jealousy, worrying about your future. It's like, if you worry about those things, you're going to miss everything that's happening right now. Soak that up. So yeah, that's what I got from it.
I forgot what the exact line is, but it says something about your future. Like it's half chance and it's half something else. And that's something that I wish I would have remembered to enjoy, because there's a lot of my college years, especially, that I was so focused on my radio career or graduating college in the 4 years that I said no to a lot of things that now, because of being an adult and hashtag responsibilities, you can't do.
Right.
I can't just all of a sudden go take a random vacation when my friends did one time, because I was like, well, no, I've got to be on the college morning show. Who the fuck cares? I wasn't getting paid for that shit.
No, sure,
and
we're not.
I missed out on that experience. And so I think that's why with you, Scott, yeah, I've been so, Holly and I both, especially when you were in your senior year and you were like, I just want to be there. Now you see why we were like, bitch, go do your spring break.
Yeah.
Go have fun. Yeah. Go enjoy yourself. You got 50 million more morning shows to do, but you can never get back that college spring break. You can never get that back.
Yeah, no, and it's funny now because I feel like I preach it to people that are graduating that I know that I'm like, oh my God. Like, and I was just looking, if you're listening to this now, which is, you know, May 4th, like a year ago I graduated. It's now been a full year that I've been an actual adult, and it's just, it blows my mind. Like, of just, it feels like I blinked and I'm like, holy, like, and this is where I start to get a little anxious. I'm like, what am I doing with my life? Because now it's not like, oh, you just graduated. It's like, you're a graduate. You done did it already.
But you know what's funny? You ain't an adult.
I know.
You're not. You're getting there and you're learning.
But
I don't feel like an adult.
You have to do that, like, step by step.
Absolutely.
Nobody is just, well, I mean, some people are. Many people do not just become adults overnight.
Nope.
So
nope. Takes time. I'm still learning.
That's why by the time that like people get to be old, they're so freaking crotchety because they're like, I know all the things and you're doing it wrong. So
that's so true.
That's why old people are cranky.
Holly, how did it strike you?
I never took it like as when I was like driving around, because I was a graduate of 2000, so this was for the graduating class right above me, and I never took it as like one big chunk. I was only like listening. I'd listen to like one line here and there would strike me, and I remember back in the day, I took a couple, the couple things I took away when I listened to it in 99 is that I would read directions.
Yeah,
because bitch, I read directions all the time. I'm like, this just solidifies it. I'm gonna keep reading directions. Don't read beauty magazines. For some reason, that line like hit me when I was in like a junior. I was 17. Well, maybe it's also because my mom didn't let me early on, but I never got into any of those magazines. Right. I didn't have a subscription to Cosmo or Teen or 17. I probably could have by the time I went to college because I could do it on my own, but I never had any interest because I was like, those are just going to tell me why I'm wrong. And I'm not interested in that. So that was something I got from that song. And then I always, like, every time he would say dance, I'd be like, bitch, I do. So I was like, yes. Oh, and like, you listen to what's appropriate for you now. And I heard him in 99 say, don't feel guilty if you don't know what your future plans are, because even 40-year-olds don't know. And those are the most interesting people. And I heard it, but I didn't take it in because it felt invalid to me.
Right.
All I was getting from any angle was, what's your major? What are you going to do? Mm-hmm. What college are you going to? What do you want to do with your life? Mm-hmm. I mean, I got it from my parents, from teachers, from the college counselor we hired to get me into a college because my mom didn't know what the fuck she was doing. Like, and then you get to college and then you are bombarded with the same stuff. So that sounded invalid to me. I was like, okay, it's cool for you to say it in a song, but like, everybody expects me to have this and I have to have it. So I wish that it was easier for kids to know that it's going to be okay.
Right.
To have several, because everyone scares you, like adults scare you.
Oh my gosh.
Mainly because they want you to be okay.
Right.
Like, you think about your parents, they want you to be able to put a roof over your head and put food on your table. Like, they want you to be okay. But they go about it in the scariest fucking way possible.
Yeah. Seriously. I mean, and that's one of the things that I wish I would have taken some of that to heart, because I was so hell-bent on getting out of college in 4 years when I realistically should have been in there for five, possibly five and a half, because my whole first year was taking remedial classes because of my special ed in high school, and so I had to get caught up. But I sped through that, and then there was like one summer that I took like five classes when you should really only take like one or two.
In the summer, especially.
Yeah, so one.
And then there was like one semester where I took 18 hours. I think it was my junior year.
Yeah.
And from like 8 a.m. till 3 p.m., I was in class on like Tuesday, Thursday. I was sleep deprived already. Like, my life wouldn't have stopped. Maybe I wouldn't be here. Maybe it would have taken me on a different journey. But, like, I would have been okay. Yeah. But in my mind, I was like, if I don't graduate in 4 years, my life is fucked.
Yeah.
No, it wouldn't have been.
Nope.
Take that year. Do that semester at sea. All the things that I remember thinking, I should probably do semester at sea, but I don't want to lose out at a chance on being the program director of the radio station, so I need to be there to be involved in everything.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, take that time to just enjoy your life.
That's the one thing that I will toot my own horn on. I will give myself credit. I've always been really good at staying in the moment. Maybe it's like one of my pitfalls or drawbacks of my personality, but in my eyes, I view it as a good thing, whereas I don't tend to look at the future all the time. Mm-hmm. And in some instances in my life, I probably should.
Right.
But I'm very good at staying in the moment. And I did that in college, I think, as much as anyone could.
Right.
So I, you know, had all the prep. What are you going to do? I'm going to be a communications major, but what does that mean? I don't even know. I don't understand what's going on. Like, who's telling me what to do? Why is it suddenly on me? And I was never trained for this. Throughout all that, I found my own little, like, you know, my tribe at that school. And I loved my college. I had, like, so much school spirit. I was in the sorority. I was in the show choir. I did all these extracurriculars. I had all these friends. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And then I had friends who were Like my best friend from college, who is now a principal at a school, and she was, her whole goal was to get through school and be a teacher. And she wanted to get married and have a family and be a teacher. And the clock was ticking.
Mm.
And we'd get to be like, you know, seniors. And I'm like, we got to go to the bar.
Yeah.
We don't have that many more weekends to go to the bar. And she'd be like, I have a test. What is it that teachers have to pass? Mm. I can't. Praxis, I think. Mm. It's called the praxis. I have the praxis. I have to study for. And I'd be like, okay, but. Are you going to see old Hottie from Sig Pie at the bar ever again? Because he only going to be there once.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I was always the one that was like, we need to go out. Like, probably to the detriment of some of my studies. But I will pride myself on staying in that collective moment. I don't regret anything in college. I miss it sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I knew I was living, like, the best time. While I was in it. And that probably, because I did not have a good, like, unlike Miguel, okay, like Miguel, in college, I knew I wanted to be in radio.
Right.
But unlike Miguel, who was so regimented and structured, and you wanted to be the PD, and you were on the morning show on the radio. By the way, our radio station didn't have a morning show, because stupid. But, I mean, I worked hard in all my classes, but you would never have considered me someone that would probably make it because I never went above and beyond. Mm. Like, I did just enough.
Right.
And I did just enough in cool ways. Like, I give myself a lot of credit for having gone to my internships and stuff,
mm-hmm.
and I made the connections, but that seemed natural. Mm. Like, I was not raising my hand to be an officer in the broadcasting honorary. Like, they were like, oh, do you want it? And I'm like, no.
Oh.
That doesn't sound fun. I'm not doing it.
If it's not fun, I ain't doing it.
So I, like, it just, I feel like in that time, I took the most advantages I could of living.
Right.
I feel like I should stop because it's... No. We got a meeting to be in.
Yeah, we're tight on time right now, even though you're listening to this at, like, God knows when.
Yeah, we got to be in a meeting. And I got to eat my damn lunch.
Well, we got a lot. But, yeah, we're going to continue the conversation on tomorrow's podcast. But listen to that song again mm-hmm. and just think about what it means to your life and what it means to if you are 23 like Scott
yeah.
or if you're 17 in high school mm-hmm. or if you're 50. Because it's never too late to change any of that stuff.
Correct.
I mean, your knees, if they give out, you know, then like he said, take care of your knees.
Yeah.
You're going to miss them when they're gone.
Yeah, bye.
Holly, what's all your social media? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay, go Holly.
Oh, wait, hold on. I like that better. Hold on. Let's do it.
Oh.
I don't know what this is.
Tell me that's social media.
No, it's Radio Holly, though. You can find me on TikTok, Twitter. And Insta. Okay.
Oh, Scott, what's yours?
You can find me at Scott Tavlin.
Hey,
SCOTTAVLIN. TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram.
You can find me on those too. My name is Miguel.
What the hell is this even?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's,
I like it.
Queen Radio Gaga.
Oh, yeah.
You know this song, Holly?
I do. I didn't know this is how it started because I'm not that familiar with it. But they played this song when they did Live Aid in the 80s. Mm. Have you seen the Freddie Mercury movie yet?
Yeah.
No.
It was one of the ones he performed at Live Aid. It was like the big thing and like everybody was ready and they were like clapping with him.
Okay.
And well, it was like a shining moment. Anyway.
Well, there you go. Some.
I'm here for it.
Get it. Here we go. All right. Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULER. Make sure to subscribe and rate our show, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Hot 101.5 app. And we will see you tomorrow. Hold on. Let's listen to some more.
Yeah.
Hey, get it.
In there.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.